Okay, welcome to the Planning Community Development Committee meeting for Monday, March 20th, 2023. I am Kathy Hogarty, Chair of this committee and council member, and I am joined by my fellow council members, Deshaun Quinn and Tom McLeod. We have two items on our agenda, and the first one is a contract with the company Makers for the periodic update of the comprehensive plan. And we have people,
you're going to present.
Are they online or anything?
No.
Okay, that was really my question.
Yeah, this is the preliminaries of getting their contract approved. You've seen a lot of this before. We got a grant from the state for $125,000 and pretty much for this scope of work. We included the proposal that they submitted. They are also the firm that we are working with for the middle housing grant. So there will be some benefits to having that sort of overlap. And we are going to, it's come up really quickly, and this came up really quickly to set this time. So we don't have the scope of work in this particular contract. We will have that by the council night. We didn't get the scope of work completed for their specific contract because they proposed some things in their contract that we want to talk about further. But basically, it's going to be to accommodate the requirements of the grant.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be helping us with the housing element, creating a land use element, some of the outreach, some of the equity, and the climate change parts of the plan. So that's largely it. And then preparing development regulations. And that's one of the things that we want to talk to them further about. So we have not had a chance to. We selected them as I guess, and they're out of town. So my recommendation is, or my request is that you move this forward to the council meeting, the regular council meeting on the 27th for approval.
And it's going straight to that council meeting because we've already had several touch points with it.
Yes, and you've read the scope in the grant, and
yeah.
This is just the result of the RFP process. And then we just need to nail down what the scope will be, which we'll do this coming week, and then we'll have that available for the meeting on the 27th. So maybe it's April 3rd.
April 3rd.
Thank you. Yeah. Remember the question.
Let's start with Councilmember Quinn. Comment.
I'm comfortable among this far. I was trying to look for the consultant, Leland Consulting, and then the water state.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. And I mean, this is all familiar. And, you know, my only, we're getting better, everyone else. Everyone is getting better at equity and community engagement.
Mm-hmm.
So I always look to that. And, it doesn't always have to be a name you know, it's just their experience, but also kind of the scope of work, right? So we don't have it in front of us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have my grace in moving this forward, but I look forward to the scope of work to really kind of love to see, and I know it's always a back and forth. And I know there's a short time, and also we're not the only ones who are on the comp plan, so the competition is.
Not
proposing.
That's a good point.
We're
very happy to get
super close. Yeah. So I'll wait something. I'm pretty excited, but hopefully the way the RFP was crafted and our staff engagement will help us through this. And then not that this is anything about me, but I'll be digging down in the weeds a little bit because I'm very familiar with the watershed work, private work, and equity work. So this is like my wheelhouse.
And just to give a little bit of context, I mean, this is it's a limited amount.
Yeah,
and we have a huge obligation under the GMA and the regional guidance to develop the housing element, and climate change and equity are a portion of it. The advantage of having this firm is that since they're doing our previous work, there's a fair amount of that equity focus that's been boiled into that. And so we'll be able to sort of build on that for the next step forward.
Great. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
I'm fine with just moving forward to April 3rd. Thanks for clarifying a couple of things as I read through this. I was thinking, we've got makers here, we've got makers there, and just trying to understand the different roles they're playing. So did we get two grants to cover both makers projects?
Yes. Yes. Okay. And they are going to come back in June or July, because the way the state pays out, we're going to need a second contract for the second half of this. So they will, because in theory, the funding was available starting in July last year, but we never got a contract until like December, so, or January. So finally we got a contract and we forward with it. We got, you know, everybody online. And so, so we're at almost 1 year's time. So they will pay us out for half of the, for that grant. It was $130,000, and then we'll have to put another contract in for the next, for the remaining portion.
Or what, $65,000?
Yeah.
And there's no problems, you don't anticipate problems with that?
No, and they were well aware that they kind of put us behind the barrel there.
Okay, I have a question about, when we do public engagement, we do it for a lot of projects.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel like we almost know the public answer before we even start the project. Because
mm-hmm.
we just reached out a lot of times. Do we ever not need to do the public engagement because we already kind of know?
No, it is an obligation to do the public engagement. Some of the questions that we're asking may be a little different this time, and we are making a very concerted effort. We will be making, especially under the middle housing grant, we'll be making a very concerted effort to include community members and community groups that are not historically represented in the people that show up at meetings. You know, if you're going to hold a public meeting, it's going to be at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
You're going to get the usual suspects that will come. But this will be an effort to go to where those groups are. And we'll continue that with the plan conference as well.
And one other question, under the work plan, there's talk here about Council Planning Commission project kickoff.
Yes.
How do you see that one?
Well, this is part of the vision that they had. and that would be something that I had talked to Nora about that potentially. Because I wasn't familiar. In the time I've been here, I've never seen the Planning Commission and the Council coordinate. And I appreciate that you've read their proposal. That's great. But that may be something that we would want to put into 2024 once the Planning Commission has really looked at what the product is that we're going to be moving forward, and then it will be before it comes to the council.
So we need some budget. Kind of a handoff between the Planning Commission and council might be a good point to have you guys together.
Yeah, I see some benefit in that. If mm-hmm. we can all come to solutions together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, handoff makes more sense because we have distinct roles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't have any other questions. I'm in favor of just moving forward. Thank you.
Yeah. So this was just really interesting. So I read quite a bit of it, and really, because it was just like, it's so well laid out and it's really interesting. So I'm in favor. I just have a couple of comments just because I've read a lot of it. Not to say I read every single word, but I read a lot of it. I love what they said here. This is just a comment. If you look on page 4 under CTAC, they did a housing action plan. This sentence is so packed. It says rising housing costs have made CTAC unaffordable to its homegrown young adults, displaced renters, and locked aging homeowners in place. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a really succinct way to summarize just? And I just read that and I was like, what a great statement right there. All those things: three renters, young adults, and nobody can move because they can't move.
So that was good. And then what do I have another couple? Oh, this the engagement also. I looked at that page closely. I just really liked your comment about having let's see, a kickoff meeting with either planning commission, city council, or both, but I like your handoff idea. I think that's really a good idea. And then the interview with key stakeholders, and you have to, you know, if you're only going to do six, you got to be really intentional about that. You know, I did this just a lot of really good things that we've done, road shows, right? You know, and public meetings, workshops. We've done all those things before. So I think the last time we really did it was with this public safety plan. Is that true? Why have we done like a major something? I'm thinking about like fatigue.
Tina Senior Center would be the,
yeah. Okay.
The biggest.
Yeah, Tina Senior Center, that's pretty good. But this is going to look a little different, so.
To Councilmember McLeod's point, though, we are trying to do a little bit better job of coordinating across departments because this council does have a high level of expectation of engagement in the community. And yet there is also different levels of interest in what we're engaging with the community, right? So the stormwater plan may have a different level of engagement than, you know, what does the future of housing look like in Tukwila. So we are trying to be a little more intentional, but looking to the new inclusion and engagement manager who's coming on in mid-April to really help us with that.
Yeah, and we do get a lot of comments from people who live here that say they want outreach. That's why you keep hearing it from us, is they want outreach. So, yeah. So I want to talk about the funding because I'm sure you've told us this, but I don't remember. So we've got $125,000 broken down on page 14 or 17, depending on what you're looking at. But is there more money that we're, that's the total cost?
There was the 130, which 100 plus 30 for outreach for the middle housing. And then this is a separate grant that's the 125.
Okay.
Yes.
But this is for $125.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we're really trying to be very focused on the scope because there's not a lot of staff in this budget.
Yeah.
Not a lot of staff on our side either. So we have to be really pretty clear about what we can accomplish.
Yeah. So usually this is how much, yeah. That's what I was wondering. Like, this is a lot of work. That's great. But it sounds like you're going to finesse that. With the
right, and so we'll have a lot of marks to hit in terms of our regional requirements, mm-hmm. and updates. So I think some of it is really focusing on the areas where we expect a policy shift. Like housing is definitely a policy shift from our last comp plan, whereas the shoreline, we updated it not too long ago, and we're in alignment with state regs and don't see a lot of shift there. So really, it all needs a once over, but some areas are really going to get more attention than others. And then like the transportation element is a big one, but they have their own funding to work on the transportation master plan and transportation element.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Similar with economic development, right? They have, mm-hmm. It's incorporated into that larger economic development strategy.
So this is housing, land use, equity,
climate.
And what?
Climate.
Okay, yeah. Great. All right. Thank you so much. Any other comments?
I'm just picking up from yours. I like the quote that you said because there's a piece where people may be running away from who we are and what we can afford in this situation. So having that statement is really something that no one can run away from. We're hearing a lot more from folks saying that my kids can't buy here. I think the other thing is this grant, and hopefully this will work well, is in this comp plan, there are these milestones and there are these mandates that come from the state. And so aligning that with a real streamlined, efficient consultant, because the other thing is what allow is for staff to be freed up and looked at other things while the structure of response and reporting associated with the comp plan gets kind of done through an efficient consultant. But I really love the there are mandates, there are things that aren't an option.
Mm-hmm.
We have to engage. You may not like it because maybe you don't believe it, but we have a jurisdiction that has responsibility for this. And this is the work that's necessary. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the middle housing. So I actually really like the opportunity to streamline kind of the state regs, but also the mandates, engage, meet that threshold for the legislature, maybe was concerned that some jurisdictions weren't meeting. Mm-hmm. So we kind of have this process. It'll be interesting what comes out on the other end. And maybe it changes the conversation. Although I think we've changed too. It's a good thing. So those are my thoughts. Mm-hmm. Just thinking about the last compliment. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
The last big.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was a lot of staff. It was staff intensive. And then people are interpreting it that just staff wanted, no, this is there if you read it.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck.
So I'll just say this formally. The PCD is being asked to forward this item to the regular council meeting on April 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Is there consensus to that?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. The next item is a resolution amending the allocation of Senate House Bill 1406 funds that support affordable housing.
So, Rachel Bianchi, for the record, Deputy City Administrator. Remember where we were 3 years ago. So, this has to do with the state captured sales tax that came about as a part of HB 1406. Right, and I know that you all were on the council then, but just a little quick recap. These funds are tied, either three specific things that you can do here on page 35 of your packet with these funds. They have to serve those at or below 60% of median income. You can acquire, rehabilitate, construct affordable housing. You can do operations and maintenance of new affordable housing or supportive facilities, or you can provide rental assistance to only available in cities that are less than 100,000. Lots of conversations with the council about 3 years ago about how we would allocate those funds. And then the end of the world came. And we decided as a city and as a council to put the majority of the funds into rental assistance. So we have been allocating the HB 1406 funds, which is approximately $165,000 a year, at a 90-10 split. So 90% has gone to rental assistance, to a fund for rental assistance, I should say. 10% has gone to SCIP. This council recently authorized SCIP to go ahead and fund some projects with a nominal amount of money from the city of Tukwila, but with a significant amount of money from some of the other cities who are pooling most, if not all, of their 1406 funds. At that time, when that decision was made, we made a commitment to come back and relook at this allocation. Now is the time. Those of you who were, if anybody was in CSS last week, there's been a significant drop in requests for rental assistance, and particularly people who are qualified for rental assistance. And so now's the time to have the discussion. So staff's recollection is that there were sort of some general consensus around a 70-30 split, 70%, this was 3 years ago, 70% going to SCIP, 30% going to rental assistance. We're here to just sort of look for direction from all of you on that. We do have a balance in the rental assistance funds from 1406 of about $230,000 as well. So there's sort of two policy questions in front of us today, right? One is, what's the ongoing split that you all want to do, right? Staff is supportive of the 70-30, but staff will be supportive of whatever you all want to do. And then there's a question of, do you want to retain that existing $230,000 balance for rental assistance in the future? Or do you want to also apply that 70-30 split to that balance? Or did you want to do something else? I also want to be really clear that the 1406 funds are outside of additional funds that we allocate through the general fund
for rental and utility, rental assistance and utility assistance. And that is also not the ARPA funds that this council has pushed forward towards rental assistance. So lots of different levers here on rental assistance, but we're specifically talking about 1406 today.
Mm-hmm. Stacy, did you want to say something? Because, or give us like a little bit of a more insight into that?
Well, I think Rachel nailed it. And when we talked about this, when it first came up, it was a 30% human services rental assistance, and it's only for rental assistance, not utility, due to the number of turnaways we were having pre-COVID. So all of this was pre-COVID, and then we, and I hate to say this term, pivoted very, very quickly with administration and council to do the 90-10 split. And so 30% was the initial recommendation, and we knew that would be able to assist 3 to 4 additional households a month in human services. And there is this big pot of funding because there have been other very generous allocations to the human services program. And we're also seeing a decrease in those who are qualified for rental assistance because of not only what our council has allocated for our program, but because of enormous amounts of basically federal funds that have come through King County in the form of the Eviction Prevention Rental Assistance Program. So last week we had a discussion that showed those funds and how they were getting into our community in such a positive way that, like Rachel said, it was the request for qualified residents is just not where it used to be. So instead of sitting on and continuing to allocate funds for a program that isn't really using them, those funds can be used for other affordable housing projects in our region as part of the pooled collective of the other cities.
Thank you. Councilmember McLeod, what are your thoughts?
There was a call for about $30,000 for a skip project for Mary's Place in Beringen, I think. But where did that money come from? Was it $19,000?
So the city approved allocations to Habitat for Humanity and to Mercy Housing as a part of SCIP. And so our contribution was relatively low, but the overall SCIP allocation was $300,000 to Habitat and just over $1 million to Mercy Housing. So, and I know SCIP is continuing to look for those capital investments. So if you were to allocate more of the 1406 funds, that's where it would go.
But when we satisfied or agreed to the capital call, was that out of general?
No, that was out of the 1406 funds. That is out of that 10%. But again, I want to say that Tukwila's portion of the $300,000 for Habitat was in the $3,000 range, right? So if you were to allocate more funds to skip capital program, your dollars will go to more projects, I guess.
Okay. I remember the conversation back around the 70-30 split. I was more comfortable there than the 90-10, but at the council, we went with 90-10. So this is, so if we were 90-10 before, this is about kind of to work the same way, 30-70.
Right.
I would be okay with that. But then we have another question on the 230 that's in the fund now. Do we need to decide that now?
No. And in fact, one idea that Ms. Hansen and I were kicking around is, why don't we wait a year or two? Right? Those funds would still be eligible to be moved over to SCIP, but given the uncertainty in life we've all experienced in the past 3 years, perhaps we keep our belts and suspenders on for a little bit longer.
Interesting analogy. I would be in favor of waiting and not acting on it right away. That's my
thought. Thank you. Councilor
Richards? Yeah, I have some questions. So the three areas, right, is providing rental assistance for tenants, operation and maintenance for new affordable housing, and or acquiring, rehabilitating, constructing affordable housing. Maybe I'll start with Rachel. What do we think our mix is between the general fund on these items? And then I have a question for you.
So we, our general fund, we do about, I want to say, 65,000 in rental assistance for the general fund per year. Some of that goes to the administration of that effort, right? Because we, mm-hmm. we mm-hmm. do have partners.
Right.
We, as our own standalone entity, don't do, you know, one and two on that list. That's why we joined SCIP, and that's why SCIP was created, right? Was to, you know, mm-hmm. There's efficiency, right? So, and to be able to create this. So the new projects, the projects that were just funded were Habitat and Mercy. Those both went to new affordable housing projects.
Yeah.
So Habitat's a home ownership townhome, and Mercy was 89 units with everything under 60% EMI, but a mix in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that answered my question. That answers kind of the joint recommendations, but I'm more thinking, so we now have stood up some affordable housing entities.
Mm-hmm.
And this conceivably could be used to potentially enhance, improve, mitigate, or help them with their operations. So that's kind of a high-level question. And then we also have homes in the, I forget the program where.
The way back in.
The way back in.
Mm-hmm.
And then thinking about, I know there's kind of really a strict senior minor home repair.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, administratively, if there's something that goes would be needed above the minor home repair, but maybe it's the thing that allows them to stay in their home. So I'm more thinking about diversifying
right.
our pool of options. 70-30 to me, I don't know why, even though we went from 90-10, it seems drastic. So, and maybe I'm just playing with numbers, but kind of thinking about a 60-40 split. But if we don't have any standing relationships or organizations to partner, then it makes sense to do the 70-30. And I'm sure some of this stuff will hear in the comp plan and other things, but there are there are senior homes. I take that back. There are homes being ran by one adult who would qualify as senior and don't have any kind of family support. And so I'm just thinking about the kind of diversified options that we have in this situation where we can help. Nora, you might remember the permitting issue. Husband and wife would come to council. They needed to replace a roof, and she said, if I die, pull me out of my home. That's how, like, structurally I'm concerned. So I'm thinking on those situations where we are the difference between, in that case, it was like there were health issues associated. Do we have a pot that would fall under these three? Do we have an opportunity to respond? But I'd love to hear from you in the minor home repair, but also operations and maintenance of existing affordable housing. And again, this would be at and above. Mm-hmm. This might be one time. Mm-hmm. We might want to spread it across. This is my theorizing. Just representing as one council member, but just thinking about the diversification of the.
Well, the good news is that the minor home repair program is income qualified, not whether somebody's a senior or not. They have to be the homeowner income qualified. And of course, our program and the funding that we have has very strict HUD guidelines that we have to adhere to.
Right.
So we have a much smaller program. So for bigger things, we automatically funnel to King County Housing Repair. And that's a no interest lien for our residents who can get a roof replaced and who can get their house rewired and help connecting from septic to sewer. And so as long as the house remains deeded to the owners,
mm-hmm.
as soon as the deed changes, then the money has to be repaid. But up until that point, it's as long as the residents live in the home and the deed doesn't change, they can they don't have to pay those funds back.
Okay. Well, to Nora, when you have a situation where you know somebody's on the edge, do you leave resources? Do you share the resources that we develop? Like, what options do you have other than we're gonna have to put a lien on your property? And
I mean, that's a challenge, right? When code enforcement gets a complaint and there's, you know, a tarp on the roof, and you know, we're really trying to balance what resources we can bring to bear with the health and safety
mm-hmm.
of people
mm-hmm.
inside. And I think it's even more pressing now that the maintenance of the existing
yeah.
affordable housing is so much cheaper than building it from scratch,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I think that's a real new, like, policy emphasis. Get the public funds. I mean, there's a lot of strings about that. But, yeah, I think it's something that we do need to put some focus on and do what we can within the box that we're in.
Right. And
yeah.
So I'll just use this analogy. It's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
Law enforcement interacts with an individual, and as a part of their role
mm-hmm.
and opportunity, is there's actually something to lead to say, here are resources.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just theorizing that maybe we have a resource list.
Mm-hmm.
And this is clearly not gift of public funds, because there is a 1406
mm-hmm.
purpose. And you're not saying the likelihood or not that this person's going to be successful. This is just an option.
Mm-hmm.
There's no option on the permitting side, right? I mean, we're going to have to do something, but here's some resources. So I'm just thinking about the utilization of these funds and then diversifying those things. So doesn't have to be all figured out now, but I'm saying that's something to think about, because I think maybe we're seeing that, and I could be wrong, people, they're on the edge. They're just making it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had that one or two things that could get them across, you know, to maintain them. Great. And then, okay. All right, so I'm going on. The other thing is on the rental assistance, do we kind of, I love the pivot, and do we have the data to back up? There are these funds that are now available.
Yep.
Because I don't want to defend a change in the percentage. The data should speak for itself.
The data absolutely speaks for itself.
Yeah.
And so the reality is $11 million come into this community from EPRAP,
mm-hmm.
right? That's a huge amount of money. And so now the calls that we are getting are people that have been helped substantially, right? And so it's time, you know, our program is no longer available to them for the amount that they've been previously assisted.
Right. So you track that.
So, right. Absolutely. And again, the whole reason, I mean, here's another data point. The reason that $230,000 remains in that fund is because we've been spending down everything else, right? And so that's showing you there hasn't been a qualified need for those funds.
That's how I heard it when it fell on my ears.
Yes.
We would use it if it was needed.
If it was needed, we wouldn't be here saying.
And there's the qualifications.
Funds. Right.
Like, you're putting out information. It's like, do you know? Oh, you know you qualify for this, so you can get this, this, and this.
Right.
So there's that education piece. That's a part of it. And that's a good thing. More people are finding, you know, what they're qualified for. And the reason why they're qualified is because they need it. And
right.
that's okay. So the 230, that is,
right.
it's not being used. Okay, those are my thoughts. I would just consider, I would love to play with this in this committee, but the data is there, so I'm okay. I just don't want us to react to what we knew then and not be considerate or have other considerations of how we can think about meeting our residents where they are based on what they what's needed, right? Thinking about tiny homes, the two tiny homes, Bellwether, and other places where maybe a portion of the fund could help them do a thing that they want to do.
Yep. And I think it's important that you know that next year, as a part of the budget process, we're going to be coming to you with a revamped way to do the minor home repair program, because the CDBG dollars are likely, very, very, very likely to not be there any longer. And so all of that will be in the mix when we look at the next budget cycle.
Okay.
So, sorry, quick clarifying question. The 70, retaining the 230 for now, does that get to your, okay.
Sorry. I don't have to spin it when we see it, right? It's not, to me, it's not burning our hole in the parking. That's me. And that means we can be intentional about where we do that, you know, where we maybe even create some policy around it so that it could live beyond 1 year.
Maybe something shows up we don't know about yet.
So my question that I have, especially this would probably apply a lot to the pot of the 230 that we have, is so we were talking about additional repairs to individual homes. Is that allowed in here? Because it says acquiring rehab or constructing affordable housing.
They would have to be at or below 60% of median income.
So we could help individuals with their housing.
I believe so. I mean, it says specifically says rehabilitation of affordable housing. So
for individuals, we could do it. Not like somebody rehabbing a building or something.
Right.
60%.
Okay. Good. Okay. And the operation maintenance of affordable housing and rental assistance. Okay. So there's just a lot of things to consider here. I don't know what our time frame is. For example, it's the things that my fellow council members have brought up. Do we want to reserve some of this money so that we can do some of the things that are in one and two, right?
That was the whole point of SCIP. I'm just going to remind, right? That was the entire point of us being a founding member of SCIP. So absolutely that's available to you, but I just want to bring you back to the why we were a founding member of SCIP. Was to be able to pool those resources, because our ability to put $200,000 into a project is significantly different than SCIP's ability to put $1.5 million into a project. And that's the difference between a project being able to soar or not, right? So the staff recommendation would be to remember why we joined SCIP. And Laurel didn't even poke me to say this.
Okay, but I do have an example. For example, Jan Bowerjack has said, can I have some more tiny homes? Do you remember her saying that word? Where did she say that? When she came up and testified or something. So it's like, I don't know how much tiny homes cost. And that was what I was thinking. Do we want to save some money and get some more tiny homes on that? You'd have to have a reason. And that was my reason. I thought, well, there's some instances where we could hold a little bit of money back to help in some individual projects, but that's the only one I could think of specifically, and I'm not even sure if that would work. But these are all things that we need to look into, right? And so then the pot of funding, the $230,000, the only reason I would say spend some of it now is the dollars will probably go farther now than they would later. That would be my reason for maybe contributing some of it now to SCIP so that that money can buy more than it might in 2 years. At the same time, you might want to just keep it in our, like you said, keep it here in our reserve. So I don't know the answers, but I do want to ask the questions, and I don't know what I think about all this, but I do think you'll agree with me that we're going to have four more council members that are going to have strong opinions about this. So when we go to the council, we're probably going to hear a lot of dialogue on this. I'm really good going, there's more than one good answer to this.
I think the 230 keeping it is a good thing to do. If we wanted to spend some of it on something, that would be a good thing too. The 70-30 to skip, they're doing good work. And just like you were saying before I said the tiny homes, yes, that's really how we can make our leverage our money the most. And I can't remember, Deshaun, did you say 60 here? It doesn't really matter because we'll have that discussion again.
60-40.
Yeah. So we're going to have this discussion in the full council, and it's probably going to be quite the discussion, I would imagine. And so
can we find this committee with a strong recommendation?
There you go. That's the question. That's the question.
If I could, this council was given the opportunity to take the HB 1406 funds just for the city, and right?
Mm-hmm.
And decided not to, and let the other matching funds go to the council. I'm sorry, to the county member.
Separate,
but specifically because the council said that it wanted to make a bigger impact than just as the city OO, right? Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to, all of these things, all of this housing stuff is so intertwined.
And at that time, we were thinking that funding was going to go to housing families or, moms with kids or whatever. I think I had a little different idea of how that money was going to be used. This is pretty clear how this money is going to be used. Very clear.
Yep.
So, fellow council members, senior council members, what do you think for a recommendation?
The data. You say it supports the 70-30.
Absolutely.
And Deshaun say maybe we go a little more conservative and go 60-40.
Yeah.
And if we build, if 230, that fund continues to grow because we're not using it all, we still reserve the right to use it or allocate it around the housing, these issues. So.
Well, I'd be comfortable with 70-30 with the data.
Yeah.
The data up front. Because I just remember how we got here last time, and I didn't feel comfortable about that decision.
It felt like we were making it on the dais.
Well, on the dais, and then it was like, who could up the number? and I want to be able to say, there's a reason why the number is the way that it is. Because we always have the option to go big, but we should probably choose the option of going smart. And serving the residents' needs based on information that we have more information now than we did then. So I can support a 70-30, but with the data, because I just don't want it to be
arbitrary.
Well, I don't want it to be arbitrary or folks feel like I need to one-up you. What we need to do is make the best and more thoughtful decision about how this money can be utilized.
Do you think having the saying that also we've got this $260,000 in reserve we're not going to be caught not being able to do something, we could go ahead and really be a team player in the region with that 70%, because it's not like we're going to run out of money right away. It's how much change.
It's 230.
Yeah,
2:30. I'm just positive thinker, I guess. So it's okay, 2:30.
On top of the 65 annually, on top of there's also 175,000 in COVID rental assistance that we rolled over from last year to this year, which we're not going to be able to spend at all. We'll be giving that back to.
So why don't we help some people get housing in the region along with the retaining, like you were talking about. Now, those important things. Why not?
Give it to Skip?
Yeah, why not give it to Skip so that we can be creating new housing, which is such a need? And that's just, I'm just being rhetorical, you guys know that. So, that's really.
You're talking to the 230 pool of money.
No, I mean why we would go 70-30 instead of 60-40 or 50.
Why you choose?
Yeah, I guess I didn't reference where I was coming from with that. Why not say we're in good shape, 70%, and then you've got all the data to go for why we would have come out of this committee with
that. So spending is going to Skip.
Yeah.
70 to skip. Yeah. 70 to skip is, and then you'll all have all this information that you can give us to explain why we can really do this. We can do this, and we're not going to be hurting. We're not going to be hurting our community. Our community will be well served. All of this.
And just like you're addressing this reallocation, not breathe this into life, but were the world to end again, you could reallocate one more time, yep. Right? This is not a forever thing.
We do it on time. And I think the skip piece, we've met our obligation of our percentage. And honestly, it's going to determine based on the projects that come forward. So it's not like we throw them a bunch of money. It's like the whole point of Skip 2 is that you actually have competitive projects where your residents will benefit from this being stood up in Darien or this being stood up there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe it's the next round of projects, because this year we didn't have any Tukwila projects. They were all in other places.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a time when Tukwila has projects, and then we have to be just like those jurisdictions and put in more money as a show of good faith and support. And if we have those dollars available, then we don't have the debate where maybe we shouldn't give you anything because you don't have any money in it. So I think that's the beauty of Skip as well, is there may be a project that would arise. And again, usually if the project comes to Skip, there's also federal dollars available. So they're not just doing it by themselves. It's to leverage that.
So
when we did the 90-10 allocation, there were no skip projects on the books.
Right.
No, it was 3 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think we had and all the other money that was coming in, like ARPA and all those, hadn't surfaced either. There was nothing.
This was on the horizon. First to pivot on that. Yeah. Stuff. And I will remind you that it caused some bad blood with our partners on Skip, who were not happy that we made this pivot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't on the.
Yeah, they were not happy.
Maybe you were on Skip and you saw that.
I think it would be welcomed by our Skip partners to do the 70-30.
And one other question I have: the fund that now sits at 230, did it grow then during COVID when we were putting 90%? So we weren't using all of the 90% that we had allocated.
That's correct.
Because we did this pivot before the ARPA funds.
Yeah.
And so as soon as the ARPA funds came on, then anybody COVID related went mm-hmm. to ARPA. And so we were not using the 1406 funds.
Okay, that would be another option to go with 60 or 70 to skip. Yeah.
I like that one. That one may consider.
Yeah.
If I could give you guys just one real quick reminder, in 2020, when COVID hit us and we didn't have any of the other available funds, we spent $110,778 of 1406 funds for rent assistance. And then the council for the next year allocated $250,000. So in 2021, we spent about $85,000. So it went from $111,000 down to $85,000. Then in 2022, we had the flood of the EPRAP, and it just kept coming. So there's been four renditions of EPRAP funds. And council allocated $500,000 for human services for staff and for rent and utility assistance. And so that was the majority of what we used. And so in 2022, we only spent $30,000 with 1406 funds. So that's out of everything we could have spent, we spent $229,000, but it's because council allocated so much funding, and then we had so much come in our community from the EPRAP funding.
And with that, there was less, I shouldn't say less restrictions, but, and I don't want to misdescribe, but there was money to allow people to pay back how much they were in their arrears, right?
That's where the $11 million from the EPRAP came in, right?
I think that's a good point, because I'll make up a number on the fly and say, well, what about those folks that got behind or needed our assistance? Well, that's where the EPRAP came in, able to get caught up, and now they're current. And I just think this is a good story to tell, but we need to tell
it.
Tell it in all of its elements so that we're making good sound policy decisions about this decision.
Right. It just, it's important that you all know, because I know you are out in community, right, is that we are getting calls from people saying, well, I am still behind. And at this point, given the, like, and so on an individual basis, right, well, but if you got that much from EPRAP, right, if you got that much from other programs and you are still behind today, this is not a COVID issue, right? So you're still going to hear from folks, right? I'm still behind, but, you know, at some point it becomes a different issue as to why you're behind and not because everything wasn't made available to you.
Right. And it's not unlike the work that you do and helping to educate while at the same time you're providing assistance.
Right.
And so there is this, you know, we built that around the support that we have given in the past, and this is no different.
So I have consensus from my fellow council members that we are supporting the recommendation here, that and I'll report on that out on that tonight, and I'll say that we have, there's data supporting the 70-30 split, which you will hear when this comes to the COW, and then Stacey, it'll be really important that you say the things that you've said, both of you, you know, you'll have to go through this explanation all over again, okay, which is as it should be, but it really does support. So thank you. Any other thing, any comments, sir? No more comments and no more agenda. We are miscellaneous. So any miscellaneous from anybody? All right. Well, thank you so much.